My white brothers and sisters of the world, welcome to another episode of In Clawson We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. I am very pleased to be with you once again as we together motivate and inspire ourselves to do our duty in this racial holy war. This is indeed a holy war for our people. Never make no mistake about that fact. Never make a mistake about that fact. Never allow the foes of the white racial loyalist struggle to negate the idea that this is a war, because this is a war. This is a momentous, titanic struggle before this world, before you and I. This is a struggle of good versus evil, true good versus true evil. This is a struggle in which those who prevail will have their dream implanted and imprinted upon the world for the next million years, while those who fail will fail absolutely and definitely, eternally. There is not going to be a second place in this struggle, in other words. There is not going to be the situation in which we, as white people, can have a second chance 100 years from now, or 1,000 years from now. No, this struggle will be decided within our lifetimes. Those of you listening to me now will see either this land be liberated by a white racial loyalist struggle, by you and I, or we will witness this land be destroyed and our people with it. We will witness untold misery of millions and millions of our countrymen, our bloodlines, not only in this world, but across the world, in fact. We will witness a situation in which white people everywhere will be afraid of going from their homes for fear of violence by the non-white criminals, as already exists in many areas of this country. We will witness the situation in which there won't be any more white children born because the mud hordes will demand that they breed with us on pain of death. You find that to be amazing, some of you? Well, let us consider the fact that the non-whites have routinely throughout history raped and pillaged our communities, have routinely throughout history sought to bring down the hated white race whom they are jealous of. We have seen throughout history what happens when the sick dream or nightmare, as it should be called, of racial equality and racial integration is pursued with any kind of length of time. We have seen what happened, for example, to San Domingo, which, of course, 210 years ago or so, witnessed the death of every white man, woman, and child on that island by the savage nigger scum. We have witnessed, for example, what the Moors did when they invaded Spain and they demanded a tribute of white virgins to their armies for their harems. We have witnessed what the Golden Horde, the Mongol scoundrels, the Mongol invaders of Europe did as they invaded, they pillaged, they raped, they killed mercilessly. And yet we are supposed to expect, at least our enemies say, that the other races simply want to get along with us. We are supposed to break bread with those who have routinely throughout history sought our demise. We are supposed to love them while they hate us with vigor. Well, we racial loyalists realize that there is no compromise in this war. We realize that there is only a fight to the finish. There is only going to be one victor, and the loser will be expunged from the history of this world. In fact, if we do not prevail in this great struggle before us, there will be no history of this world. There will be no books written about this situation because there will be no books. Because all education and all learning, all progress as a civilization comes from one race and one race only, the white race. We spew upon the white traitors their lies. We do not swallow them. We reject them in totality. We reject the notion that all who walk upon two legs and can speak a sound are equal. We recognize the humiliating aspect of racial equality, as it is called, and recognize further that never has there been a situation in which there has been real racial equality. Instead, racial equality has been used as a battering ram to destroy the hated white race. But why are we hated so much? I have said that twice now in this speech, this program to you, that the other races hate us. Why do they hate us? They hate us because we are intelligent. They hate us because we are beautiful. They hate us because we are educated. They hate us because we are creative. They hate us because we are the noble things that they are not. They hate us because we are able to feed ourselves without begging anyone to do it for us. They hate us because we were able to build wonderful civilizations in this world while they wallowed around in the mud. They hate us because we are grand, because we are noble, because we are, as the true meaning of the word is, Aryan, noble. That is what the word Aryan means, noble. In Sanskrit, the ancient white language that, of course, the individuals that founded that language and founded the area of the world in which Sanskrit existed, no longer exists today because, sadly enough, they did not heed the call of race permanently. They did not recognize the danger to their civilization, and because of that, their civilization ceased to exist. We know that we cannot give our lands over to the mud races, that we must reject completely the notion that we have any obligation, either moral or otherwise, to accept the mud races in this society. We consider them a form of cancer, and cancer must be removed. We consider them a form of cockroaches, and no one gleefully watches the cockroach run across his cupboard without wanting to resist. No civilization has ever tolerated cockroaches and rats infesting what it holds dear. And that is what we have in the form of the mud races. In fact, the reality is that the cockroaches and rats of the world are far less dangerous, have caused far less harm than the mud races. I, for one, would much rather have a cockroach scurrying around in my house than a nigger in my house. I would much rather have cockroaches in the streets, rats in the streets, than niggers, Latinos, Jews, and other vermin. Why? Because of the simple fact that civilization is not destroyed by cockroaches. Civilization is not destroyed by rats, or leeches, or mosquitoes, but civilization is, and has been many times, sadly enough, destroyed by the presence of the inferior mud races. How interesting it is to hear the enemies of our cause protest our message and our beliefs. They will stand forth and yell at us various smear words. They will attack our character, or at least they think they are. They will deride us, they will slander us, but they never dare confront the essential reality, the obvious reality to those of us who already believe in our great cause, that race does matter, that race is the core of all progress in this world, that greatness does not come by accident, but comes by virtue of superior genes. superior blood. The difference between, for example, a Beethoven and a bongo drum, his genes. It is not because white people had advantages in Europe. White people had no advantages in a cold, harsh climate. The niggers, in fact, in Africa had tremendous advantages, but simply sat on their rear ends and did nothing. That is the fact. And we would challenge, in fact, any race mixer to prove us wrong. You race mixer who are so determined to extinguish your white race from this planet, what is your evidence to support your point of view? How do you support the notion of racial equality? Is there any evidence whatsoever in the vast analogs of this world that demonstrates that the races are equal in any sense or form to one another? And do not tell me that simply bleeding red blood makes us equal. That is the most ridiculous argument that perhaps exists, for any number of creatures bleed red blood. Do not tell me that simply crying, being able to cry as a race, makes you the black race or the brown race or the yellow, or as I like to call it, the urine yellow race, equal to the white race. Do not tell me that simply because a black man can speak the English language with some semblance of correctness, that makes his race equal to the white race. Because if you try to tell me these things, I will laugh at you. And so will we racial loyalists laugh at you. Is there any scientific? Is there any historical evidence at all for the notion of racial equality? No. There is none. The arguments for racial equality, if you were to fill them in a book, would not even cover a page. While the arguments against racial equality would cover volumes. And so we must go from there and say, well, if the races are not equal, if this is a fallacy that our children are being taught to their self-destruction, and that, in fact, is the aim of those who are doing this teaching, the destruction of white people. If this is a fallacy that the races are equal, that must be opposed. That all of the manifestations of this myth must be dispensed with. In other words, or for example, if the races are not equal to one another, then why should there be integrated schools? If the races are not equal to one another genetically, then why should there be equal rights? If the races are not equal, then why should white people allow the mud races in this society? Any more than they would allow gorillas to run loose down the street. In fact, the other races are halfway between man and ape. And that is the reality as well. Can you imagine, for example, a white liberal who says that, well, we should go ahead and have integrated schools. Well, why don't we go a step further? Let's integrate the schools with gorillas. How about chimpanzees? How about any other form of life if we come right down to it? No. We have to make the dividing line. There has to be a dividing line. And the dividing line is between races. The other races are our natural enemies. The other race's gain is your loss. Every time a non-white is born, that is bad for the white race. That is another enemy that has existed, has been bequeathed to you. We don't want any more enemies. We don't want them to exist in this society. We don't want to subsidize the increase of enemies of our people. Now, as I've stated in previous episodes of In Colossians We Trust, there are plenty of individuals who would say that America should fight its enemies. Individuals would say left and right that terrorists are the enemies of the American people. And the American government right now is spending a lot of time and a lot of your money fighting the enemies of America, supposedly. Well, I tell you what, the enemies of America are within America. The enemies of America are the mud races. The enemies of all that which is good and worthwhile include the mud races and the white traitors. Those are the enemies. We don't have to accept the notion of this melting pot, or as I like to call it, crap stew. We don't accept the notion that we should go ahead and allow individuals that are thousands of years behind us on the evolutionary scale to inhabit this land. We don't accept the notion, obviously, most obviously, that we should have to break bread with raceless mongrels. No. They must go. They must be corralled onto boats and deported from this land, and from all lands in which white people can attain the power to do so. Let us corral them onto the boats. Let us send them on their one-way trip. And this land will be purified and ennobled as a result. We do not smile when we see this supposedly great country. We do not look down the street at the abuse that the mud races cause and smile. We do not hide our head in the sand and simply hope that things will get better. No. It is the duty of each and every one of you and I to do everything we can to change this order, to destroy this current order, and to replace it with our order. Now that brands us as radicals as far as the government and the media and the other forces against us are concerned. But that's fine. It is fine to be an extremist. It is fine to be a radical. It is fine to be a fanatic. And it is fine to be a hater. It is fine to hate that which is base. It is fine to hate that which would seek to eliminate your birthright. We must ask the question, who needs niggers? Do you need niggers? Do I need niggers? Who needs the brown sludge from south of the border and within our borders? Do we need them? Do we value them? Have they accomplished much for society? When's the last time you heard about an awesome black scientist or an awesome Mexican scientist? The only people that you hear of are basketball players, in the case of the blacks, and perhaps good criminals, in the case of the Latinos. It is little wonder that the president of Mexico is very anxious to send as much of his refuse to America as possible to try to extricate that country from the quicksand that it is in. Now, of course, he'll be buddy-buddy with the United States government, shake their hands, and hope to have a deal that would make American citizens out of 3 or more million Mexican riffraff. Because even he realizes and recognizes, being a white man, as you will notice, that the Mexican garbage is just that. Those who control the nation's processes of communication, the Jews, those who control this media, the Jews, and the Jews that influence and dominate the American government, they know that their aims will be delivered, or their goals will be achieved by flooding this land with the mud races. They want to involve you and I in an endless struggle and hope that we lose and intend that we lose by mongrelizing our people out of existence, because the Jews have for thousands of years craved and sought the domination of this world. They want to rule this world. They believe, for example, that their Messiah will not come back until the Jews have dominance over the world. And so they are anxiously plotting and planning to make you and I a slave. And yet they want us to applaud. They want us to smile and say, please, yes, go ahead and enslave us. And then when we rebel, when we refuse, they cause haters and bigots, extremists, neo-Nazis, what have you. So be it. Let them call us their names. Let us go ahead and be called whatever names that they have in store for us. That means nothing. What means everything is that we reveal to the people what is happening. The vast majority of white people are still in a state of confusion. They are still watching the boob tube and are assuming that their, quote, leaders, unquote, are serving their best interests, even though it is those leaders that made, for example, September 11th inevitable by its slavish support for the state of Israel and its unwillingness to guard the borders of this country. Notice how the media has never blamed the American government for what happened on September 11th, even though obviously it is to blame. Notice that the focus has turned towards extremists in this country, which, of course, the extremist is simply an individual that opposes the status quo. That is an extremist, by definition. Of course, they talk about the terrorists, and of course, the terrorists have responsibility for what happened September 11th, whoever they are. And we may never know the complete truth when it comes right down to it. The U.S. government also is responsible, just like the U.S. government also is responsible for the hundreds of thousands, and in fact, million white people who have been victimized by nigger criminals the past 40 years. Over 100,000 white people have been killed by these nigger criminals the past 40 years. Did you know that? That is, in fact, a war against us. That is a war against you and I. White people are not going around in any numbers victimizing blacks and the other races. It is white people who are the victims, and they have the audacity, those who control the government and the media, in fact, the media and the government themselves, to call us the bad ones for merely seeking to protect our people from murder and rape and robbery. Let them go up to a white woman sometime who has been pulled into an alley and raped by a nigger savage and say that their races are all the same as one another. Their races are all equal to one another. Let them approach the white man, woman, or child who can't pretty much or practically come out of their home late at night because they live in a non-white neighborhood for fear of the violence that would befall them, and tell them that we're all the same except for the color of skin. Let them explain what the situation is in which the Jews have their Holocaust museum, and yet there isn't even a museum for those yet, still, for those white people or for those of any race who died in the Second World War. Why is it, for example, that every third grader can tell you, supposedly, how many Jews died at the hands of the National Socialist Germans and others during the Second World War? 6 million. But no one, practically no one, knows how many American soldiers died in that war. That's not considered important by the masters of this land. The masters whose corruption is unequaled in the annals of history, and who must be overthrown. That's not important to them. It's not important for your knowledge as far as they are concerned. What they are interested in is making every white man, woman, and child a slave, both physically and mentally. They want you and I to feel guilty for the inadequacies of the other races, so that basically your rights can be eliminated, and you will be merely a vassal who pays taxes to support this lousy tyranny. Well, the World Church of the Creator says no. The World Church of the Creator is the most powerful, effective force against their aims. The World Church of the Creator will make sure that one day, not one white woman will be raped by these animals. The World Church of the Creator says today, fervently, that one day you will not have to pay 40 to 50% of your income in taxes to support this criminal government. The World Church of the Creator says today, and has always said, that if we have our say, if we have power in this land, there won't be any more crimes against white people. There won't be any more defilement of our people's blood. And we will have a grand civilization without the social parasites tearing it down that we currently have. The World Church of the Creator, for that reason, is the most feared. The most feared organization for the white race in this world. The World Church of the Creator has been called neo-Nazi, for example, and I've been called the next Hitler, or the new Hitler. I take that as a compliment. I smile when my foes call me that. Because Adolf Hitler gave the foes of the white race a hell of a run for their money. Because Adolf Hitler opposed the Jews and showed that the Jews could be conquered. Their power could be vanquished against the odds. He showed that they could be defeated in modern times and turned back. And the only reason why he did not prevail, sadly enough, was that the other countries of the world banded together against him, and the heroic struggle of National Socialist Germany, because those countries were under the heel of Jewish domination. We know that we can prevail in this struggle. We know that history is full of occurrences in which the underdogs, as they were called, prevailed against those who had the advantages. Yes, the Jews have control of the press, but we are chipping away at that control. This very program is a way of subverting that control. Yes, the Jews have control of the government, but more and more people are, regardless of they're still being confused on many issues, more and more people are realizing that there is something wrong. They might not be able to put their finger on it, but there is something wrong with this system. There is something wrong with them having to, for example, go down the street and see individuals speaking other languages, refusing to speak our language. They think it might be wrong to have to learn Spanish in order to accommodate the Mexican invaders, rather than the Mexican invaders being forced to learn English, for example. They think it's wrong that Mexican invaders get health care in this country while you and I have to pay for it. The Mexican invader gets it for free. They think it's wrong that every Martin Luther King street in this country is a dangerous place to walk at 12 midnight. They think it's wrong that the Jews are able to use all kinds of terrorism, many of them, against the Palestinian people, but they're not ever called terrorists by the United States government. They think it's wrong that we're giving billions and billions of dollars a year to the state of Israel, the parasitic state of Israel, while our own people in our own country go hungry and are poor. Yes, there is much wrong, and many people realize it. And yes, they will seek answers. yes, there is something wrong. What is wrong is we have a government that is not of, for, and by the people. We do not have a government that seeks our interests as a people, but instead seeks what is in the best interests of those who control and dominate it, the Jews. The Jews throughout history have been nation usurpers. They have been economy usurpers. They have been political system usurpers, and they have been religious usurpers. It is no coincidence, for example, that what are usually called the three major religions of the world came from the Middle East, came from, in fact, a small stretch of worthless land in what is now called Israel. Much of it came from this area, the Muslim religion included, for in fact Muhammad's wife was a Jew and influenced his teachings and his writings. It is no coincidence that Christianity, Islam, and Judaism all came from the same basic area. They are another means, yet another means of usurping the minds of white people, and in fact, inhabitants around the globe. The Jews have been economic usurpers. They have controlled the nations of the world economies. They have controlled, for example, right now, they control the Federal Reserve. Who do you have as the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board? None other than Alan Greenspan, a Jew. Even in the American Civil War, who is the Secretary of the Treasury for both sides? Jews. Who pushed the Federal Reserve Act, which essentially created a counterfeiting ring known as the Federal Reserve Board? Jews. The Jews have known, for example, that Rothschild was right when he said that give me control of a nation's money supply and I care not who makes the law. And they have approached this idea with fanaticism and have controlled us in the process. They want to flood this land. They want to mongrelize this land. They want to mongrelize our blood because only a pure-raced people can oppose Jewish domination. Only those of good race have the inherent resistance to domination. And so they hope to mongrelize us into oblivion. We will not let this happen. We of the World Church of the Creator will endure whatever privations are necessary to blunt their insane, maniacal aims. While they will try to infect the minds of our people with their garbage, we are seeking to overturn that infection. We are seeking to eradicate that cancer from the minds of our people. While they promote everything sick and base in this society to our children, we are educating our children about what is noble and what is true, what is beautiful, and are teaching them that that is valuable. Instead, we of course must do everything possible to stop the insane plan of the Jews and their minions. We must oppose at all times the effort of those opposed to the continued existence of white people in this world. My brothers and sisters, essentially the bottom line is you. Do you have the courage and the dedication to do your part to liberate this land from the parasites? Do you have the audacity, yes, the audacity to liberate this land, to speak from the rooftops, to expose the Jewish conspiracy, and for that matter, any attempts by any individual, regardless of race, to deprive our race of its future? Are you willing to call a spade a spade? Are you willing to say resolutely that you decry the notion of racial equality and that the inferior mud races must go from this land? Are you ready and willing to say that you consider yourself, yes, a racist? Yes, you believe in race, your race. Yes, you recognize that the other races are your biological enemies and that their gain is your loss. Yes, you recognize that nothing good is created by the other races, that the other races only bring harm and filth to this society. Are you willing to say, readily say, that every time, for example, the non-whites, the mud races move into an area or infest an area, that area becomes less safe? Are you willing to say that yes, the niggers cannot perform at an equal level in school because they have smaller and less developed brains than white children? Are you willing to say that all history is a reflection of a racist struggle for self-preservation, either good or bad? Are you willing to say, in other words, that the foundations of the current order stand on shaky ground and must and will fall? If so, you are ready for the World Church of the Creator. If so, you are ready to become an activist for the World Church of the Creator. We can and we will win this war if those of good blood and good character step forward today or soon and unite with the World Church of the Creator. Are you ready to stand up and preach to the people as I am preaching to you right now? And let me say right now, if the notion that I am somehow the only preacher, the only individual preaching for white people, or that somehow that should be the case, is wrong. There must be 100 of individuals doing this. I want to be a minority in that regard. Perhaps the only thing I would want to be a minority in. Certainly I do not want the white race to be a minority in this land, because I know the consequences include death and destruction of our people. But I don't want to be, and I must not be, the only person preaching the truth in this way. We must have public meetings all across this world in which we preach this message to the people. And if the enemy comes, if the self-hating whites inspired by their Jew leaders and perhaps some mud races thrown in, some niggers and brown scum and orientals, etc., are thrown in for good measure, then so be it. The confrontation must occur. If we have a speech in which our opposition shows up, that's all the better, so that we can show our people what we are fighting against. We can show our people that this little cozy dream was a nightmare. This idea that the races should all intermingle and will all live happily ever after is a nightmare. Now, let us turn to a more fundamental issue. The meaning of life. The meaning of life, the purpose in life, is to advance your own race. All other meanings of life that are cast around are exercises in intellectual futility. The idea that somehow the meaning of life is to praise God is an asinine one, and yet it is very common. It's one that is not supported by any evidence or any truth or logic, and yet it is pretty popular. And if that can be popular, then cannot our meaning of life become more popular? If an idea that has no truth in it at all, such as Christianity, can gain ascendancy in this world based on falsehoods and illogical thinking, then shouldn't our creed, our doctrine, that is based completely on the laws of nature, the experience of history, and logic and common sense, attain ascendancy? Yes. Yes, it can. What other meanings of life are there out there? The meaning of life is somehow just take care of yourself and don't worry about the rest of humanity at all. Don't worry about your people. Just be a selfish person, live 70 years, and then kick the bucket. I suppose that's out there. But what do you gain by that? Are we truly Robinson Crusoes, in which basically we exist only for ourselves, our individual selves? No. The foundation of all civilization, that is, white civilization, is premised on the notion that yes, we care about our white people as a whole. Yes, we would go across the street to help put out a burning fire, a burning house. Yes, we would help a white person laying bleeding in the street. We would not just pass by and think, well, why get my hands dirty? Yes, we care about safety in the schools. We care about safety in the neighborhoods. We care about having a wholesome television set rather than one that's polluting the minds of people as I speak. Yes, we care about the world around us. That is part of our meaning of life. The choice is yours. Are you and I going to stand up together now? Lift our voices, lift our hearts to save our people. Throughout history, we have defied odds as a people. Certainly, Europe was almost overrun by the Moors, and then later it was almost overrun by the Mongols, and earlier than both of those situations, it was almost overrun by the Huns, non-white tribes that came to devastate and defile our blood. Certainly there are those that probably thought, well, let's just go ahead and accept our fate. But there are others who realize that that is no solution, that we must stand up and if need be, clash the swords and throw the invader out. Well, while this time is a different time today, in some ways it's the same. While the mud races of old would use military force to try to conquer our people, today, with the aid of the white traders and the Jew vermin, they are coming in peacefully to destroy our people. But that doesn't make them any less of a threat, and that doesn't make them any less worthy of our hatred. The day must come in which you and I together can walk the streets anywhere without any possible negative consequence. The day must come in which superiority is endorsed and subsidized rather than inferiority. The day must come in which no longer, ever again will you hear nigger, trash, so-called music on the television airwaves. The day must come in which Jews do not own ABC, CBS, and NBC, and CNN. The day must come in which the newspapers are not disseminators of disinformation and outright lies, but disseminators of the truth at all times. The day must come in which we are not subsidizing the enemies of our people in this country and around the world, but are subsidizing our own. The day must come in which old people, elderly people of our race, obviously, have enough money to live on when they retire, have the money to feed themselves comfortably, to have a nice home, to have the ability to have a decent life, to have their golden years, in other words. The day must come in which our colleges teach a higher humanity, in which our people will be better themselves, in which we will promote excellence in all things and at all times. And we will not be satisfied with simply having mediocrity. As our founder, Ben Clausen, said, the intellectual standards of our people have gone down the tubes. 2,500 years ago in Athens, for example, in Sparta, the people were far more intelligent on average than they are today. In a city-state the size of just 40,000 people, I believe it was, they had numerous individuals that distinguished themselves, such as Socrates, such as Plato, Aristotle, Euripides, Pericles, etc., individuals of learning, of philosophy, of science, of education, of creativity. That, in fact, is why we call our religion creativity, because we are the creators of worthwhile culture and civilization. But in any case, we must reclaim the excellence of our people, and we can only do so by liberating our people. Well, my brothers and sisters, we will close this week's episode of In Clausen We Trust. A little different format than usual. But what we must do constantly, incessantly, is to promote the racial idea, the racial ideal. We must promote it from the rooftops always. If you have not talked to someone today about creativity, you have not done your duty for the day. If you have not spread creativity to a white racial comrade somewhere through whatever means, you have not done your duty for your white people. And I'm not talking about simply going into an internet chat room and talking to people of like mind. I'm talking about talking to people in the streets, talking to people at the grocery stores, talking to people at the malls, talking to people everywhere you can find them, and preach creativity. Creativity, for those of you who have read its books, is the absolute truth. Nature's eternal religion, written by our great founder, Ben Clausen, to whom this program is dedicated, is the greatest book in all history. Read that book and tell me I am wrong. Read that book and tell me that it is not full of truth and does not open your eyes to many things that you would never have dreamt would be open to. When, for example, our great founder Ben Clausen also said, when the white man's Bible becomes the property of 10 million white people, the victory is won. The battle is over. If 10 million white people can read the white man's Bible, we will have liberated our people. Now, the question might become, well, how would you liberate people simply by reading a book? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how. The main problem remains the thinking of white people. It is the thinking of white people that must change if we are to win. The government does not have power simply by force of arms. They have power. And the Jews have power over them because they are able to control the thought processes of the people. The people don't realize this. They don't know this, obviously. They don't realize that almost every program on the air is designed to propagandize them and make them into mindless robots for the anti-racist cause. Armies have known, for example, throughout history, that if you can demoralize your opponent in advance, your opponent will lose. And so basically, white people have their natural instincts subverted and destroyed by the Jew manipulators of the press. And so if we can straighten out their thought processes, if we can overcome and rebuke and supplant the Jewish control of the press through our own efforts, through our own propagandizing of the truth, the victory will be as good as won. Read Nature's Eternal Religion. Read the White Man's Bible. And you will come to the same conclusion that I came to some years ago, that creativity is the answer. Creativity is the only hope for white people. Creativity is the salvation of the white race. You know, some decades ago, the Jew media made a great deal about a nigger named Martin Luther King. Real name Michael King, by the way. Or Martin Lucifer Kuhn, as some would call him. The Jew media made a great deal about this individual, even though everything he was saying was false. And the whole premise of everything he promoted was a lie, namely that the races are equal, because if the races are not equal, they shouldn't be integrated, and that the inferior race would automatically be a detriment to the superior race. But in any case, ever since then, they have been promoting this I have a dream business. Well, you know what? I have a dream too. I have a dream that we can have one day, once again, a beautiful land. I have a dream that we can have a land of our own kind, in which the enemies of our people will cease to exist within our borders. I have a dream that one day white people will be proud of themselves once again, when one day the value of race will be universally recognized as it must be, when one day it will be taught to keep your race pure, to ennoble and advance your race as the highest good in this world. I have a dream that this current order will fall upon itself in misery, and the enemies of our people will be legally tried and convicted for their crimes. Those white people who have betrayed the interests of white people will be tried for treason, legally, through the process, but will pay for their crimes. I have a dream in which the White House will one day become white once again, and not beige, and not black, and not putrid-colored green. I have a dream that we can have a land that we are proud of once again, and not simply have platitudes to the American flag without having any kind of real basis behind it worthy of pride. I have a dream that one day, once again, we can be safe and secure in our homes, when one day our home will be our castle once again, and nobody would ever dare even think about entering our home to deprive us of what is rightfully ours. Does that dream sound fantastic? Well, in this current order, perhaps it is. When people have been so used to being in the mud, being clean becomes kind of odd. When people are used to being defiled and befuddled, truth rings like a strange bell. And so may it, perhaps it may be in this case. But I know that right is on our side. I know that justice is on our side. I know that no matter what the power of our foes, we can defeat them. Because there is no power that is equal to ours within ourselves. The victory lies within ourselves. The vision of tomorrow lies first in our hearts and in our minds. And so, as I conclude this episode of In Clausen We Trust, I beckon upon you, I beckon you to do your duty. I beckon you to stand firm for your people. I beckon you to go out right now, after this program perhaps, go out and talk to people wherever you can find them and implore them, cajole them, or even shame them if necessary into doing their part for their white race. To be a race traitor is no virtue. To be a racial loyalist is no sin. And as we fight this fight, remember that one day you will have the accolades. One day the taunts and the smears and the slanders will turn into the flower-heaving masses. The white people of this land will be grateful for your sacrifice, for your zealotry, so to speak, your zealousness. The white people of this land, of the world, in fact, will thank us. We of this generation, who took it upon ourselves to liberate our people from the pernicious, insidious domination of our enemies. Remember that. Remember that as you strive and struggle, as you toil, that there is much to be gained at the end of the day. I bid you good night. I bid you my comradeship. Let us together win this racial holy war. Rahoah!